this is Allison Stanfield with Art Biz Coach and the new Artist Conspiracy Membership Program. To kick off a new year, I've invited Jennifer Lee to talk with me about goals. But goal setting isn't just for the start of the new year. It's for any time you feel the need for renewal. And I'm sure we're going to get into that. So welcome, Jennifer, and thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Allison. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Oh, I just can't tell you how delighted I am. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you. Jennifer is a certified coach, author, artist, and yogini who believes in living life in full color. Her business is Artizen Coaching. That's A-R-T-I-Z-E-N Coaching, which you should definitely check out at artizencoaching.com. Jennifer is, I am sure, the proud author of The Right Brain Business Plan, a creative visual map for success. The release date is February 16th, 2011. And Jennifer was also a featured coach in the book, The Girl's Guide to Kicking Your Art Career in Gear. And I'm sure that this gives her some really good background to talk with us today, which is why I asked her here, of course. But Jennifer, if you don't mind, before we get to your sage advice about setting goals, I wanted to share a little bit of my experience with the subject, which can explain why I need your help here.
Okay, great.
So goal setting is something that I struggle with. My business is 9.5 years old, but I think I struggle with the goals because of all the years that I worked for someone else, and there were many someone else's, mm-hmm. Not a single one of my bosses ever asked me for goals.
Wow.
I know. I look at it now from what I know about goals, and I'm just shocked that mm-hmm. people that were writing me a paycheck every 2 or 4 weeks weren't asking me what I wanted to do for
them. Yeah.
So it's lucky for me that I'm big on accomplishment and I'm highly motivated, but I still wish after all these years that I could get this handle on goals, on this magical thing called goals and how they could work for me. Rather than having highly structured goals, I tend to work with shorter term projects with deadlines and due dates, and I do really well with those. But I still like the idea of what goals could do for me. So I don't know how I fit with what you're going to talk about, but I imagine there's a lot of artists like me who don't set goals and who don't like to set goals. Am I right?
Totally. I think, you know, a lot of creatives avoid goal setting for many reasons. And one of the first things I think is it's considered like they think it's boring or complicated or intimidating, or it kind of makes them think of corporate, and that is not something they're interested in. So they tend to avoid it. And I think the other thing is, you know, as a creative person myself, I don't necessarily like to be boxed in by something. So like writing a goal might feel like I'm setting something in stone and it cannot change. And that feels too confining.
You know what? That's so interesting, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Yeah, no, that's great.
A lot of artists tell me that, you know, one of the rules in marketing your art is to pick a style and get on with it. And it doesn't mean you can't work in different medium, but if your work looks like 20 different artists, it's really hard to market. It's hard
exactly.
to find your market there. And one of the reasons for doing this is they say they don't want to be boxed in. You know,
yeah.
I want to be free to create. So that just fits right in with the goal setting.
Exactly. Yeah. It can just feel like way too confining for us creative folks.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, you know, if they're courageous enough to put something on paper, they might feel like a failure if they don't meet the goal. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I put this out there and I didn't meet it. So it's easier just not to put it out there.
So do they think of that ahead of time and go, well, what if I don't meet it?
Yeah.
I might as well just not write it.
Totally. I mean, I have clients like that who like won't even tell me what their goal is because they don't want to not meet the goal. You know,
it makes it hard for you to help them, right?
Exactly. And I think the final thing is they're too busy doing the work they love. You know, they love to create. They love to do your art. It's just like the fabulous title of your book. I'd rather be in the studio, you know?
Yeah. I didn't name that, you know, someone, lots of artists gave it that name over the years.
Because that's how they feel, I guess.
Exactly. I heard that over and over again. Yes, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't want to be boxed in. They think it's boring and intimidating. They're afraid of failure. And what was the last thing you said?
They're too busy doing what they love.
They just want to get on with making the art.
Exactly.
Right. Do you think it's important for them to set goals?
Definitely. I mean, it's just like that example I was saying with clients who are afraid to like speak what their goals are. It can be really difficult to know where you're heading, right? If you don't put a stake in the ground, you don't say, you know, this is how much I want to make with my art this year, or this is how many pieces I want to sell. By the end of the year, it's hard to know, like, did I meet my goals or not? You know, do I feel like I've accomplished what I set out to accomplish? So having,
I was going to say, am I going the right direction even?
Exactly. I mean, I like to think of, you know, goals and business plans as a roadmap. And if you don't have goals, you don't have a business plan, then it's like going to an unknown destination without any directions.
Yeah. So. Well, and you may get to this, but I kind of think that having that plan and that roadmap frees you for your creative activities.
Definitely. I mean, it helps you just kind of put some parameters around what you're wanting to create. And then, you know, like I know in the creative process for myself, having some structure actually can be a great thing. Otherwise I'm floundering. I'm like, I don't know where to start. I'm overwhelmed. And I just stay in that whole process of being confused and overwhelmed. But if I have a simple structure, I can actually kind of put my head around it and roll up my sleeves and start to get to work. And gradually things will grow from that.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that. Whether we're visual artists or writers or just business creatives, that we tend to get caught up in the latest project. And I call it, well, every other people call it this, but bright, shiny object syndrome.
Exactly.
Like the newest, latest thing. And then we just get so excited about it. We want to work in that space and we forget about our larger vision.
Exactly. Well, one of the cool things for artists, though, is that we can use our creative process and our artistic mediums to actually help us do some goal setting. So I know for myself, I love to have visuals to help me get clear on what my goals are, and then also to help me stay connected with them. So
what does that mean? Like, you draw pictures?
It can mean anything. So most of what I do tends to be like vision board type of things. So collaging using images from magazines or, things that I actually draw myself. Mm-hmm. It could also be just writing things creatively. Like I had somebody take one of my courses who wrote a love letter to her perfect customers and talked about how she is working with them.
I love that idea.
I know. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. That's much better. That's actually much better. You have people tell you to write out a profile of your perfect customer. But I love the idea of writing the letter to them directly. Oh, perfect.
Brilliant. So, you know, it's creative license to have your goals look however you want them to. You know, I mean, I think one of the things that deters people from doing goals is they think it's like written out on a piece of paper or in a Word document in a certain format. And that's, you know, boring for us creative types. So yeah, if it's a love letter, if it's, you know, a cool vision board, when I set out to, you know, write my book, or had the idea, like I want to write a book. I actually made a prototype, like the back cover of a book, had a little picture. I had the description. I had like some fake testimonials.
Oh, that's great.
And I put it on the back of my journal so I would see it every day. And that was a great touchstone for me.
I love that. When I was writing my book, my coach, who's Cynthia Morris, so I shouldn't say it out here, she said, if you go to your book on a shelf, what do you want it to look like and feel like? I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. So she really got me thinking about that. And the goals can be the same way. And I think that what we get caught up in a lot of time is reading about how other people do their goals.
Yeah.
And how we should be doing goals. That's how it's written a lot. You should be doing them this way.
Exactly.
But you're saying just make it fit. Do you have some guidelines about for those visual, or do you want to get into that later? But for the person who's never done visual goals or never done a vision board, do you do it once a year? Do you do it whenever you feel like it?
It could be like a once a year thing, and it could also be whenever you feel like it. So I tend to do one, like a major one, once a year, but then throughout the year, I might be inspired to do something for a specific project, like that example with the book. You know, wanting to write a book.
Yeah.
But I still do like overall vision for business, overall vision for my life. And then those really are the starting place to then maybe highlight some particular goal so that you're taking action to. So it's not just about making some kind of pretty picture that represents your vision. Mm-hmm. That's great and it's inspiring. But if all you're doing is looking at it, you know, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. Wishing, yeah. It's kind of like people that take my classes or read my book over and over again. I'm like, quit reading and just start doing it.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a balance with that.
Yeah.
Because if you're just doing without visioning, then you're probably running around in circles.
Okay. So I've always distinguished, and I don't know if you do this too, but it sounds like you kind of do, but I distinguish between the vision and the goals.
Yeah.
So, and projects actually pull, and then tasks. So I pull them out that way.
But, yeah.
You're kind of saying, if I may be so bold, that you have the big vision board of what you want your life or career or whatever to look like. And then you pull your goals from that.
Definitely. Yeah. And I follow a similar structure. So it's like the big vision, what the goals are that will support that. And then, like you were saying, the projects, or I call them strategies. So there might be multiple strategies that support a particular goal.
Okay.
And then within the project or strategy, you have all the action steps or the things that actually go on your to-do list.
Right. Okay. Do you think that it would be fruitful, and I'm putting you totally on the spot here, to give an example of a vision, goals, and strategy?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay, so let's say, like, would your vision include making a certain amount of money or showing your art at the city museum, or would that be a vision or a goal?
I'd say that might be more of a goal.
A goal.
Like, okay. The overall vision might be, you know, if you look out a year from now or 5 years from now, how do you want to feel about your business? What would you have accomplished? Kind of some of the values that you're expressing through your business.
Okay. Okay.
So kind of more of that bigger picture.
Okay. Okay.
And then in support of that, like you're saying, like have your art in galleries, or I can't remember exactly the example.
So like say I make $60,000 a year from the sale of my art, or
exactly. Yep.
I am showing my art at the city art museum.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So let's take that first example as a goal of I'm making $60,000 a year with my art. So that's a great goal because it's specific, it's measurable, you can achieve it. So this is like, it follows the SMART goal guidelines.
Yeah. Those are some of the things that someone told us we should do.
The SMART goals. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a total stickler about it. It's just a helpful guideline because some people, like when I talk to people about goals, they'll just say like, I want to sell more art.
Right. I get that.
I want to make more money.
Yeah.
So what your example shows is something very specific. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah. Do you think maybe we should go over the SMART goals then?
Okay.
So it's SMART, SMART goals. And, and you said S is for specific.
Yep. So that would be, well, you know, to make the goal even more specific, did you say by the end of the year? I can't remember.
Oh, well, we had said, no, I didn't say it, but you could say by the end of the year, by the end of 2012 or.
Exactly.
It could have a deadline in the future.
Exactly.
Okay.
So measurable is the M. Mm-hmm. And so by saying $60,000, that's quantifiable. You know, you can say, yes, I made $60,000, or no, I didn't.
Right.
You know, is it achievable? So can you complete this goal in the given time frame? And do you have the resources you need to make it happen?
Okay.
And then R is usually for relevant, which I think is kind of boring.
It is. Well, yeah. What does that even mean?
What does that even mean? So where I got my coach training at the Coaches Training Institute, they substitute the R relevant for resonant. And I just love that because it's, you know, does this goal make your heart sing? Does it resonate with you? Does it light you up?
Does it support your core values?
Exactly.
Your vision. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So resonant, does it resonate with you? I love, does it make your heart sing?
Like, yeah. Because if it doesn't, you're not going to do your goal. It's just going to feel like a burden. So right. Why even bother?
Right. Right. You get excited about it. So yeah. You're excited to achieve this. Okay. And then the T
is for time bound. So it's kind of similar to the specific and measurable, just like we said, you know, by the end of the year.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So smart. So the goal, so back to the goal of $60,000 a year. Yeah. Achievable. With the achievable part of that, you would ask, well, it could be achievable if you made 40,000 last year, but it might not be achievable if you're starting from zero.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So you that's ask a great yourself perspective. Those things with that.
Right.
So tell me a little bit more about the SMART goals, and why you said you're not a stickler for them, but they're a structure.
Some people get really caught up in, did I meet all these things and defining it? It's just like the thing about people reading your book and not doing anything. So I'd rather people just use it as a guideline, but not get hyper-focused on it where they're just wordsmithing things to death and not actually working toward the goal.
It doesn't help you to keep writing and rewriting your goals if you're not acting on them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered why we don't like to do goal setting in general, how we can do it differently with the visuals, how we can make them smart, and you can add the smart aspect in your visuals too, right? You
could definitely
put a date in there, cut out a date or whatever in there, or draw it, as I think a lot of people listening probably would do. Let's see, what kind of creative goal setting or tools do we need to do this?
Well, one of the things that I really love to do is mind mapping. I don't know how familiar.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I teach it in a couple of my classes. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So you can start with putting the goal, you know, at the center of your paper, draw a circle around it. And then, you know, to help make the goal happen, it's like, what are the different projects or strategies? You can draw a little circles off of that say, you know, for the $60,000, maybe it's I sell a certain number of commissions. So you're focusing on like commission work, or I attend, you know, X amount of shows during the year. So those might be different projects. And then a branch off of, you know, maybe the shows would be the action steps that need to happen, like identify the shows or create my brochure or my poster that goes there.
Right.
You know? So mind maps can be a great visual way to do the goal setting and the action planning together.
Great. I love this. I love mind mapping just in my notebook. I also use some electronic mind mapping. But I think it's really important. I've seen some of the fancy mind mapping programs, and I use one that's like super simple, like mind mapping for dummies. And I think it's really important not to get caught up in the tools, but to just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like with the SMART goal guidelines, like don't get caught up in the technicalities of it. Just make sure you use it to help enhance what you're doing.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So there's mind mapping.
Yep.
So that's in addition to the making the collage, the vision collage or,
exactly.
or drawing. Okay.
Yep. One of the other things that can be really fun is to use like a metaphor or like to build on what you know to help you plan out something. So for example, I was just talking with a client not that long ago who loves theater and she wants to.
She loves what?
Theater.
Theater. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said the air.
The air.
Like,
we all love air.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. She loves the theater. Okay.
Yes. Loves the theater, and she felt like she had no idea about how to launch her business. So we came up with this metaphor about the launch of her business actually being opening night. And then to help her, like what needs to happen to get her to opening night. And, you know, one of the ideas was, okay, well, who's in her cast? Who are the team of people that need to help her make this vision a reality? And, you know, we started to identify them and what their roles were. And then for the infrastructure of her business, you know, maybe like set design was the metaphor we used. And so what needs to happen for that? So if you feel like, gosh, I don't know how to make this goal happen, if you pick something that you are already familiar with, it can be a great structure for mapping out the steps that need to happen. And so that just worked perfectly for her. And she was super excited. She's like, oh, I totally know how to do this.
Oh, that's fun. That's a lot of fun. A lot other people might use that. There's probably a lot of sports metaphors that could be used with the team and the kickoff and all that stuff. So mine, your memory, your experience for things that resonate with you.
Yeah.
And go about it that way. I love that.
Great. And one of the other things that I love to do is to use sticky notes. You know, I'm a sticky note freak.
Okay.
And I'll, you know, have my vision board with me, and then I'll like have a calendar, a big calendar on my wall, and I'll put all of the tasks and milestones that need to happen on the calendar using sticky notes. Because the great thing for us creatives is we, you know, don't like to be set in stone. So with sticky notes, you can move them around. Okay. So that's another great visual way of doing some goal setting and action planning.
I saw that, I think it was on Chris Brogan's blog recently, where he had sticky notes all over his wall. Someone did, and I was like, oh my God, that would drive me crazy.
Right?
The paper. But I can really, my husband's a sticky note person. He has them everywhere, all over his office. But I can see the linear progression of the sticky notes much better. That's like, that makes more sense to me than having them everywhere.
Right.
But, and I love the fact that it's kind of like a dry erase board, but even more, adaptable.
Right.
So I'm asking the practical questions. What do you put the sticky notes on? There's sticky note boards, aren't there?
There are sticky note boards. I actually use either flip chart paper that I, you know, stick on my wall, like the post-it note flip chart paper. The other thing that I just came across was this wall size calendar from Paper Source that I love.
And I saw that on their catalog.
Yeah, it is amazing. So I just tear off all the pages and I stick them on my wall with masking tape, and it's perfect. The little stickies fit right in the box.
How many do you have up at a time?
I have 9 months up right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't even have room for 9 months on my wall. That's what happens when you have art on your wall.
That's right. Yeah. I could probably have all 12 months up, but I do have a picture right in the center of it.
Right. Oh my goodness. Okay. So you've got this vision, and you've got the goals, however you choose to articulate them. Mm-hmm. How do you stick with them? How do you, like, day to day, make sure you're accomplishing them? Just stay in touch with them?
Right. That's a great question. I think that it helps to connect regularly with your big vision. So, you know, if you have the vision board or you have something visual, to have that in your studio, to have that in your office is a great idea. But then the day-to-day part of making it happen, it helps to have that integrated into your, you know, however you manage your to-dos. So, you know, whether it's online, whether you just write notes to yourself every day. So having your tasks map back to your vision is really helpful. And to do that on a daily basis.
Is that realistic to ask of our people to do it daily?
Well,
I mean, that's what I would ask them to do, but I have to ask you that because you're the expert.
Yeah, we can ask for people to do it daily, but if they do it or not, you know, that's up to them.
I think the daily, this is what I tell people in my Get Organized class when they teach about tasks, task lists. Is if you don't do it daily, you get the bright, shiny object syndrome thing. And it's so much easier to get off track when your daily tasks aren't aligned with your vision, with your goals. And I like to do mine at night because I like to sleep well. And if I don't do them at night and plan my day and have my priorities, then I wake up thinking of something that I'd forgotten Right. Or I, like a lot of people do, and I know there are people listening, I know this is you, you sit down and you start answering email and getting on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and your day shot.
I know that one.
We personally. All know it. It happens.
Yeah. So I do think it's helpful to connect with your to-dos daily. But in terms of your overall vision and how often to like connect with that, and the actual goals, if you look at your goals every single day and you're like, oh my God, I haven't made $60,000 yet. You know, that can feel really frustrating. So I like to look at goals at a quarterly frequency so that I have some time and space to actually be doing the work, and then to check in and see, where am I against this target? You know, are there things I need to adjust? But if I'm looking at every day, it can be really frustrating. Like, oh my God, I haven't made this goal yet.
Right. Well, so quarterly, and I'm going to put you on the spot here because a lot of us would have that good intention, but do you put it, block out your calendar to deal with goals in one afternoon every quarter? Or because we can say like, we're going to do it quarterly, but then we're like, I don't know, I'm doing fine. I'll forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily like block it out for the whole year, but I just tend to look at the seasons and say, okay, well, we're heading into spring now. Where am I at? So I do it a little bit more organically, but I set the intention for myself. And then I will block out time. Like once I go, okay, yeah, I need to do that. It's spring. Then I'll like carve out an afternoon to do that.
Once I remember. To do that. But I like that. That's a very right brain way of going about it, is to say, oh yeah, it feels like it's the right time to do it. You just have to be kind of in tune with yourself.
Exactly.
To do that.
And I think it helps because I'm writing about it. So.
Oh yeah.
So I'm paying attention for other people, and then I go, oh yeah, I need to do it for myself too. But it's a great,
yeah,
it's a great time to just say, okay, where am I at? Am I meeting these goals or not? And to not like get upset if I'm not, but to say, okay, what things do I need to change? Mm-hmm. And then also to say like, oh my gosh, like what things can I celebrate if I've met the goal or I'm getting closer to it? Because I know for myself and a lot of people, we tend to just blow past things that we accomplish. Like, okay, what's the next thing?
Right.
But when you take time to reflect, it's really helpful to celebrate.
And do you celebrate in a literal way or do you just do the happy dance?
I'll do a happy dance sometimes. I like to get massages. That's one of my ways I celebrate. And sometimes just the act of reflecting and like journaling about like how good it feels is a way of celebrating for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any little thing. Like, I'm not a big celebrator. And mm-hmm. when I was working with Cynthia on my book, she would say, and how are you going to celebrate? And I go, do I need to, you know, do I have to, I need to get back to work.
Right.
So for me, and this is hard to explain to other people, but just like the accomplishment is enough. Like
right.
That is an act of celebration. But like yesterday I launched the membership site, and last night it was like, we're going out to eat.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So that was my little celebration.
Yeah. Dining out is a great way to celebrate. And I like that one too.
Yeah. Getting your nails done, having an ice cream cone. I'm always for anything with chocolate in it. Cool.
Exactly.
But there are other things that are less fattening as well. Taking a walk, sitting down at the creek, watching the river flow. That's all really nice.
So, yeah.
So whatever works for you. Okay. So when I work with my clients, I stick primarily with business goals because that's the line of work that I'm in.
Sure.
But is it important for people to set goals in various areas of their lives?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important for people to do that, to kind of look at their life as a whole. I know for myself personally, I can be a workaholic. So a lot of my goals tend to be focused on my professional life. So I try and balance it out by having specific goals for my personal life as well, around things like health, relationships, my creativity, even spirituality, so that I'm feeding myself personally so that I can show up more effectively in my business. But if I'm just totally focused on my business, I run myself into the ground. You know?
Right, you're not whole. You're not whole for your clients or your creativity.
No, exactly. So it's really doing myself a disservice when I just focus on the business stuff. But, you know, that's where I tend to go because it's fun and it's exciting for me. And I know that there are other pieces. So like I just did a vision board last night for my whole life. And one of the first squares that I did was around fitness. So I've been having back problems and it's really annoying. And I feel like it's actually keeping me from being fully effective in my work and my life, you know? So it's all interrelated.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think especially, well, it's interrelated for everyone, but, yeah. It's hard to coach people if you don't feel whole yourself, I think. Okay. So you mentioned, there's business, there's goals for business, goals for creativity, which I would sometimes, distinguish those two, because one might be production oriented or learning oriented, and the other one might be sales, marketing, and so forth. Health and fitness,
relationships.
Spirituality, relationships, maybe even home.
Yes.
Travel might be one of your goals.
Yeah, like recreation, what you do for fun.
Yeah. So don't forget all of those things that make you alive.
Right.
that make you alive.
Make you a happy person.
Do the happy dance. Yeah. So can we set too many goals?
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, I think that if you have too many goals and you're having trouble like keeping track just at a high level what they are, then you probably have too many. So I like to have, you know, maybe about three main goals that I'm focusing on at any given time. Otherwise I can feel really overwhelmed. I mean, I still do have, like, I put things more on the back burner. Like I like to write it down and go, okay, these are all the things that I want to do, but focus on these three.
Right. And it's so important to write it down so that you don't forget it.
Exactly.
And it can change. Then you allow it to change.
Exactly.
Because after you've accomplished your current three goals, you might have a different long-term goal. So don't go crazy with the goals.
No. Or you can go crazy in your initial brainstorm, like, oh my God, these are all the things that, you know, I'd love to accomplish in my lifetime. The bucket list, yeah. Right. But then say, okay, in what's reasonable in the next year for me to do, or the next 3 months, and pick, you know, three feels like a good number. It could be two, you know, it could be five if you can juggle that many things. And then also it helps to have, you know, maybe like one really big significant goal, and then the others be a little bit more manageable or like kind of quick win type of things, so that you're feeling like you're gaining momentum, you're getting stuff done, but you're still being challenged by this bigger goal.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that.
Uh-huh. If they're all really big, you're just going to feel overwhelmed.
Right. And it's very unrealistic.
It is.
I know from experience.
Me too.
You can't do a lot of big things at once.
Even though I really, really want to, down on myself for not being able to do it. It's not physically possible.
Since I knew that I was going to talk to you and work with the members on this, I've been exploring it and really I'm excited about setting some goals. And today I started making a timeline.
Ooh.
Which I used to do when I worked in museums, because I'd have to map out all of our exhibitions.
Right.
So that they didn't all go down on at the same day.
Right.
So there was nothing on the walls. And so I used to have like all these timelines going on. And I thought, I have my deadlines, I have my task list, but I need to see it. That's another visual that's going to really help me, even though it's written, it's really going to help me visualize my time and go, no, those all can't be due on February 1st. No way.
Right.
So I'm excited to do that.
Oh, that's great.
Well, is there anything else you want to share about goals or leave a challenge for our listeners?
Sure. Well, let's see. I think the first thing I'd love to challenge people to do is to spend just, you know, even 5 minutes in a quiet space reflecting on, like, what is it that you want this year to be like for you, for your business, for your life, and then just, you know, do some quick journaling about it, and then identify at least one smart goal that you want to put a stake in the ground with, and tell someone about it.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is a discussion that we're having right now. There's this TED video that says not to tell people about it, your goals.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fascinating. I need to watch that.
He says that it's one of the short ones. Mm-hmm. And he says that there's research that says if you tell people about your goals, that you have this sense that you've already accomplished them. There's like a false sense that you've already accomplished it.
Interesting.
And I think there are a lot of people that disagree with that. And I'm not sure I agree with it at all.
Yeah.
I would actually be held accountable.
Right. I like the accountability. And I actually think it can be a good thing to feel like you've already accomplished it in a way, because it's like you're already in that space of success, and to take action from there can be really exciting.
Good point.
I mean, that's like when I did the book prototype, it's like, oh, like I can see this actually happening. It feels real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I guess he's saying like people might be deluded.
Yeah. So, they might think, well, I've already lost 20 pounds, so yeah. Why bother? but I get that, because when I was writing my book, I kept telling people, mm-hmm. I'm writing this book. I'm going to be done by this time. And I got done, but I'm really glad you said to tell someone, because I tend to agree with that. And I think a lot of people listening agree with that too. Mm-hmm. We like to be held accountable.
Yep.
Okay. So Jennifer has left you with your mission, which is to carve out 5 minutes of your time in a quiet space. I think that quiet space is really important. And the quiet space could be a noisy coffee bar, but you just can't sit across from someone you know, or
right.
Have your computer with you and be online. So it's really just a space to focus on what you want and where you want to go, and brainstorm it, create a SMART goal for the year. So Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. I'm really excited to, I'm going to set some goals now. See how that works.
Yay.
I'm going to try, but I really appreciate your being here.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
So for all of my fellow conspirators, I hope that you'll check out Jennifer's book, Right Brain Business Plan. You're going to find it in the sidebar of her Life Unfolds blog, and that's at lifeunfoldsblog.com. Also, be sure to chime in on this topic in the forums on the members only site. I made a topic in the goals forum just for this interview with Jennifer. So thanks everyone for listening. This is Allison Stanfield with Art Biz Coach and The Artist Conspiracy.